Please turn or tap in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a device or a paper Bible, you can grab a pew Bible and turn to page 861. You'll be there before everybody else. Mark chapter 4. So as we move toward Resurrection Sunday, 2 weeks away, we've been in for a few weeks now a sermon series called The Real Jesus. Our images of Jesus are formed by more than just the Bible. It should be just the Bible, but we get all sorts of images in our mind that don't come from the Bible. Preachers and TV, movies, songs, denominations, statues, paintings, and many other things contribute to the image we have of Jesus in our minds. But think about it. The only thing other than the Bible is a guess. The Bible is our trusted source, so everything else is conjecture, a guess. Some of them are not wrong guesses or bad guesses, as some of them are. But we want to know the real Jesus, the Jesus that we see in the Gospels. What did Jesus do? What did he say? How did he handle things? Does the real Jesus in the Bible line up with what is in your mind when you think about all the things you heard growing up and you hear now? I'd like for you to remember two phrases today. For every raging storm, there is a calm. For every raging soul, there is a peace. Today's message is called The Real Jesus Calms Raging Storms and Souls. And I'm going to be moving back and forth between two stories, but it's not a lot of flipping if you're in a paper Bible. The other one's in Mark 5. We're going to start in Mark 4, so it's just a page or two over. We'll flip back and forth. So we're going to look at a time when Jesus calmed a storm. So Mark 4, starting at verse 35. I'm using the NLT today, New Living Translation. That'll match on the screens. Verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. If you were here last week, the message was the real Jesus heals. And last week I alluded to other times in the Bible where Jesus left the crowds behind and he moved on and left some people without healing, left some people without deliverance, or maybe they wanted to talk to Jesus and he didn't get to everybody. He needed to move on to the next place. So look what happens in verse 37. They've gotten in this boat, verse 37, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. If you've ever been out in a storm, and I don't mean you're hiding in your basement, you're in your house, fairly safe, but you've been out in a storm, and you're unprotected. This was a very scary situation for the disciples. I mean, you can't deny that this would be frightening to be in. When I was about 10, I might have been 9, might have been 11, but around 10, I was on Table Rock Lake with my dad fishing, and we were in a John boat. That's what I wanted to say. So we were in a John boat, one of those little 10 horsepower power motors you steer from the back. My dad rented it. And we're out in this cove, maybe 10 minutes or so away from the dock. And a guy comes out. I don't know if he was like a park ranger or I don't remember. Maybe he was just a guy from the dock, and he was going around with a megaphone. "You need to go back to the dock. The storm is coming very soon. It's a very strong storm. Please go back to the dock." Okay. My dad wisely listened to him, and we started to go back to the dock. We got about halfway back to the dock, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you've seen a storm like this. Many of you probably have. It went from sunny to just almost completely dark. This clouds came rolling in and came over the whole thing, and wind started blowing like crazy. We're just in this little boat, and it's raining and the waves are starting to get higher and higher from this wind, and it was high enough that the waves were coming into the boat. I probably remember them being higher than they were because I was 10, but they were still high enough to start swamping the boat, and my dad had to steer the boat back here, so he told me to bail the water out, and all we had was a bait bucket, and so I'm doing my best with that, and it's scary. You know, for about 5 minutes, it was really scary, and right before, maybe it was right when we pulled into the dock, the storm passed and it was over and it was sunny again, and it was just the water was maybe a little ripply and all those waves were gone. And it was frightening. It was scary. But not as scary as 13 people in a 25-foot boat. Those waves must have been huge to swamp a boat like that. It was being overcome with water. The disciples, they didn't have any idea it was coming. They went out, we're going to cross the lake, okay. They didn't know there was going to be a storm, especially a storm like that. When you think of external storms, you can think of them metaphorically as circumstances that happen to you, things that you have no control over, or you have little control over, these external storms. They can be literal storms you can be in, but there's other kinds of metaphorical external storms. An accident, you get a bad accident. Bankruptcy, a divorce you didn't want. A boyfriend or girlfriend dumps you. Job loss, prolonged illness, even abuse. Some of you have dealt with that, sadly. The death of someone close to you. A failed business or a ruined crop. And there's many more we could come up with, but we've all had external storms, metaphorically speaking, come our way. They've happened in our life, and if you keep living a little while longer, there are going to be some other kinds of those storms come your way because you live in a fallen world like we all do. Storms can be internal as well. Your soul can feel like it has a storm going on inside it. It can rage, only it's on the inside. And many times, the internal storms are caused by the external storms. Probably most of the time. So external storms, think of those as circumstances outside of your control. Internal storms are emotions and reactions. And we can't say that you can always control every emotion, every reaction. But they can be very difficult on the inside and the outside to go through these things. So let's look at an internal storm now in God's Word. So flip over to Mark chapter 5. That's where this next story starts. Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 22. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little girl is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Those of you that are parents, it's easy to put yourself in that man's place, but it's hard to even think about. It's hard to think of your own child going through something like this. So the external storm that the man was dealing with was his little girl was sick and she was dying. But let's focus for a moment on the internal storm, what the man was going through. So we kind of have to imagine this. It doesn't really say other than what we have in the Bible. Some of you can identify exactly. It may be a different storm, but some of you know what this feels like. I mean, we find out later this girl was only 12 years old. So this was a very, very difficult situation. And he was dealing with an internal storm. His soul had to be raging on the inside. I don't know what he felt. It's not in the Bible, but I know what I would feel. Things like fear, depression, the unknown, desperation, anger, anxiety. Probably a few more we could come up with. But he showed some faith. The last part of the verse is still up there. He showed some faith. He asked Jesus. I don't know how he knew Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he knew Jesus healed. He knew that much at least. He believed that Jesus had the power to intervene. Even though she was just in her last moments, she was near death. So imagine yourself what emotions this man and his family were going through. He cried for help. In faith. I just learned this story this morning. Seth and Michelle Herks, many of you know them, they're not here today because they have sickness in the house. So their children are Thomas and Layton. And they had sickness in the house last week and on through this weekend. And Thomas, their son, a few days ago, his fever got really, really high. And he got so high he was lethargic and he wasn't making sense. It looked like he was just spaced out. And you know, that's scary, right? For a parent, that's very scary. And Michelle prayed for him. She starts to pray for him. She gets done praying for him. The fever's gone immediately. I don't mean it got lower over time, but it immediately left him. Am I saying it right? Okay. All right. I'm asking people that know firsthand. Now, what if she had not prayed? What if she had not asked? I don't know. I'm not trying to speculate. But she did ask. And the fever left him immediately, and he was fine. Jesus always responds to faith. Always. Jesus always responds to faith. That does not mean he's going to respond in the way you want him to, in the timing you want him to. It doesn't mean you can have everything you want if you have enough faith and pray enough and so forth. But it does mean that Jesus is aware of your situation. He hears your faith. He hears your prayers, and he will respond and answer according to his perfect plan, which includes his perfect timing. Let's pick it up back in Mark 4, verse 38. We'll go back to the boat. The disciples were in this terrible storm. Verse 38 says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Not sure how you sleep through a storm like that, but that's what it says. He was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? They see the boat going down any time. So they have a cry of help. That's good. They not a lot of faith there necessarily. But at least they went to the right person. They went to Jesus and asked him. I believe that the mistake the disciples made, and this is my opinion, because it's an easy one for any of us to make, and it's one I've made before, is to say to Jesus, don't you even care what I'm going through? Don't you care that I'm sick or my loved one is sick? Don't you care that my marriage is falling apart? Don't you care that our finances are in such a mess? Jesus, do you even care about me at all? I can understand why you might feel that way sometimes. And you're sometimes screaming inside your soul. I've experienced that. I think it's a normal human reaction. We live in this flesh, this fallen world, corrupted body and minds, and we have these reactions sometimes. But I can assure you, because the Bible tells me, I can assure you that Jesus cares about whatever you're dealing with. Whether you think it's small or big, Jesus cares about it, and he cares deeply for you as a person. He cares deeply for you. He's aware of the situation. He knows what you need, and he knows what you want. Now, that being said, never, ever be afraid to cry out to him every day, every hour, if needed. You are going to the right person when you cry out to Jesus, even when you think, well, nothing's happening. Know that when you do, he does care, and he will respond eventually. And probably it's not going to be as soon as you would like it to be. It almost never is in my experience. But eventually, you are going to receive a calm or a peace that follows a cry for help. And while we're still thinking about the disciples in the storm, let's look at the calm that followed their cry for help. Now verse 39. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. When it was time, Jesus took command of the situation and brought the calm. Jesus was, is, and always will be God. So, think about this. He knew ahead of time that the disciples were going to go through this storm because he's God. He knows. And he said, okay, everybody get into the boat. He knows that storm's coming. And he takes a nap. So he allowed the disciples to go through this thing. It's very scary. And he was quiet and asleep on purpose. Think about that. He took a nap on purpose. If they had not gone through that storm, if they had not called on Jesus, they would have missed out on a tremendous lesson in faith. They would have missed out on drawing closer to Jesus and knowing who he was, is, and always will be. Now, don't make this mistake. I'm not saying this, and the Bible doesn't say this, that your external storms are caused by Jesus. They're caused by God. No, that's not true. That would make him a cruel God, and our God is not a God of cruelty. He's a God of love. But he does allow storms to hit in your life for a reason. And sometimes he remains quiet for a reason. I don't always know why. I rarely know why is more accurate. And he does this, I think, to teach us faith and to draw us closer to him and to bring glory to his name. So think about this. What are the times that you have grown closer to Jesus? Your faith has increased in some ways. Now, if you're like me, it's probably when you've gone through a difficult situation. Whatever it is, some difficult situation. Maybe you're on the backside of it now. Maybe you're going through it now. You know, when you're going through a storm, an external storm. Now, if you can relate to what I'm saying, you've probably experienced this if you're on the backside of the storm. Before the calm finally comes, however it comes, there ends up being this time, probably way longer than you would prefer it to be, but you go through this time where Jesus seems to be asleep in the back of the boat. And he's silent. Why aren't you answering me? I'm calling out to you, Lord. And you again, you wonder, does he hear me? Does he care? And then somehow, some way, that calm finally comes. And it may come just internally, even when the external circumstances don't change. And remember, I said this last week, but as a reminder, your healing doesn't always come in this life. Some do, some will be in the next life. And also remember this, that Jesus is our ultimate goal, not our healing, not fixing all our circumstances and so forth. This happened to me this morning. I was sitting right here on this bench where Lauren was sitting earlier. And I was in here praying. I was sitting on that bench praying. As I prayed, I was just praying for the day and the service and, you know, that I would listen to him today and all of that. And I prayed something very specific, but I learned of it as it came out of my mouth. Don't know if you've ever experienced this. So I realized the Holy Spirit prayed that, and I voiced it because it didn't come from my brain. I could tell. And so I wrote it down because I wanted to remember it. And here it is. It's nearly verbatim. Here's what I prayed. Jesus, if I had the closest relationship possible, but like with you, the closest relationship possible, but could never have another prayer answered the way I wanted, I would choose the close relationship with you. I want you, Lord. That's what came out of my mouth. Now, I'm going to turn that around into a challenge this morning. And you could pray it, because I didn't come up with it. It's not my prayer. It was the Holy Spirit's prayer. If you could have the closest possible relationship with Jesus in this life, or have every prayer answered the way you would want it to be answered, which would you choose? I'll leave you to answer that. Let's get back to the calm that Jesus can give us, which is not dependent on circumstances. Because when that calm comes, your faith becomes more mature. It becomes deeper than when you started, before you went through the thing. And you learned something, not you learned a new fact, but you learned something spiritually. You learned something about God. You end up being closer to God. In fact, you may be holding on to him for dear life when the calm finally shows up. And believe it or not, that's a good thing. It doesn't mean it feels like a good thing or feels good. It doesn't. But it's still a good thing. Well, let's check back with our friend Jairus. He's made the effort to find Jesus in hopes of saving his daughter. In his mind, this is his last chance of saving her. She's going to die unless Jesus agrees to help them. So we'll flip back to Mark 5. And the way this is structured in Mark, the first part of the story is the first part of the story. And then another story comes in the middle. And then the rest of the story with Jairus comes later. So that's why we're skipping down. But I also wanted to mention that Jesus had just healed a woman of bleeding for many years, and he's still talking to her. So that's why the first verse talks about her. Okay, Mark 5:35. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now." This man had hope. If Jesus would heal her before she dies. Because dead is dead, right? When you're dead, you're dead. And so there's no expectation that somebody's going to come back from the dead. So he had this hope. Then it's crushed. That sinking, horrible feeling of dread and finality. It must have been the darkest moment in that man's life. This is when the internal storm, because of the external storms, the internal storm gets so bad, you feel like the life has been sucked out of you, as the cliche goes. It's just, I'm dead. I'm gone. My soul is dark. I don't even have anything anymore. So, you know, you sign the divorce papers. It's done. You see the boyfriend or girlfriend that you had maybe a little hope of getting back with, and you see them with another person. The bank forecloses on the house or the property. Letter comes from the insurance company. We're not going to cover the crop losses this year because of this thing in the agreement or whatever. Or repairs for your car or whatever the insurance company tries to get out of. You shut that business down for the last time. And all the feelings of failure. Not that you are a failure. But the feelings of failure just overwhelm you. Maybe they call you into the office and say your services are no longer needed, which is a really nice way of saying you're fired. Get out of here. Or you get that call, someone has died, someone you love very much. Jairus heard four words, your daughter is dead. It's over. That's over. That's done. But nothing is over until Jesus says it is over. In 2 weeks, we are going to celebrate the historical fact that Jesus overcame death. He walked out of that grave by himself. And since he overcame death, he can overcome any external or internal storm in your life if you let him. You know, the external stuff, you find love again. You thought you never would. A new home has opened up to you. Unexpected finances come in at just the right time. You're given a new business opportunity that is better than the one you lost. A few days after you're being fired, a job opportunity comes out of nowhere. And it's a better job than the one you had. And those are examples of external circumstances changing. They don't always change. That makes it hard. So regardless if the circumstances change or not, there is a peace, there is a calm that can only come from Jesus. You can't manufacture it. You can't go to a counselor and they give you this peace. You can't get it from encouragement, as good as those things might be. There is a peace that only comes from Jesus. And when you have it, you know you have it, and it doesn't make any sense that you have it. That's when you know it's the Holy Spirit working in you. Sometimes when it seems the most bleak, that's when Jesus comes in and does something. It might be external, might be internal, might be both. Well, that's what happened to Jairus, verse 36. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Now remember, he just heard, "Your daughter is dead." But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then when Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and said, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. What an audacious thing for Jesus to... She's been dead for a while. I mean, they had to travel to get there, so she's been dead. People know she's been dead. No, she's not dead. She's asleep. Then the next verse says the crowd laughed at him. Of course, I get that. The crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples, so there was witnesses to this thing. Or there were witnesses to this thing. Into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the literal translation means, "Little lamb, arise." Little lamb, get up. Little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. So just when it seemed it was over, it was not over because Jesus was there. Jairus' raging soul found peace. His storm transformed into peace. In this instance, Jesus did speak to the external circumstances. He doesn't always do that in this life. But he will speak to your internal circumstances. You just press on. You keep asking. You keep asking and asking and asking. Raging storms, the external things, and raging souls, the internal things. There is a calm and peace to be found in the name of Jesus. Even when the circumstances don't change. It's great when they do, and we could give honor to Jesus and give him the credit and the glory and all of that. But Jesus will bring peace to your raging soul, even if the circumstances don't change. You just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. So the real Jesus, he did these things. Not some pretend Jesus that a movie writer made up. He really did calm that storm when the disciples were in the boat. And he really did raise from the dead a little girl. And it brought peace to her mama and daddy. The real Jesus calms raging storms and souls. He did it then. He's still doing it. He could do it for you. I promise because Jesus promises it. Let's go back to the two statements I showed you earlier. We'll bring them up on the screen for you to look at again. For every raging storm, there is a calm. For every raging soul, there is a peace. Where do you need the calm and peace of Jesus today? Many of you can answer it just like that. You want that peace. You want that peace that only Jesus can give. We're going to have a ministry time. Are you willing to ask him for it today? And maybe you're not used to doing this, but are you willing to have other people pray for you today? We gathered around Michael and Rebecca. So we've already established that we could do that in here. And so not just yet, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want someone to come pray for you. You don't have to tell them what it is. You can just say, I need prayer. You can tell them what it is if you want to. And if you end up going and praying for somebody, don't forget to pray for the internal. All right? So if you don't have something going on right now, if you are willing, go pray for someone. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like prayer this morning. I'm not going to even say your name or anything. I'll just point out so people know where to go. So anybody want prayer this morning for any reason? Your church body is willing to pray for you. Up in the balcony, if there's some folks that can go up that way. If you see the hand and maybe a couple more go that way. All right, I'm going to look downstairs now. One in the very back, right back here. Get somebody to pray back here. We got a couple people getting ready to pray for that person. Okay. Any others need prayer this morning? You don't have to tell what it is. Oh, Daryl, I said I wouldn't say name. Sorry, man. Right up here. If somebody could pray for this person over here. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. We thank you for life, for loving us. We thank you for giving us peace when we need it. We say these things, we pray these things, we've sung these things today, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.